The following podcast is scheduled for one fall. From the heart of Broadway in historic downtown Cape Girardeau, this is Pro Wrestling Unscripted.
It's all about sweet, sweet karma and justice this week on Pro Wrestling Unscripted, as we have a couple of stories that are going to make you feel good and a couple that are going to make you feel real, real bad. Mr. 100, hosting tonight, Shannon Young, once again here with the classic crew for Pro Wrestling Unscripted, Asa Gray, the five-star man at the end of the table.
Yes, sir.
Allie, not actually a bear, although she did go get tests done today to find out for sure, to my right.
Hi.
I'm glad that we're finally going to put this to rest, because I've had my doubts.
The rumors, the rumor mill has been spinning for months. Is she actually a bear or isn't she? We're going to get the answer in the next coming weeks. Allie, you had an ultrasound today, right? To find out whether or not you are a bear.
And blood work.
All right. So, bear work.
Why did that get me? Why?
And to my left, the jackal, Dalton Anthony.
Yo.
No, he's a shark.
Oh, I hate all of you.
If you'd like to know what a shark is in terms of wrestling,
ask Jason Wells.
Ask Jason Wells, who we just had on CCW Live.
Do me a favor, personally message him. I need about 30 people to do it.
Oh,
are you
trying to get a flash mob going here?
Yeah, like I just want people to flood his inbox with that. What's a shark?
This is totally unrelated. But did you see the thing from like a week or two ago of the flash mob in DC?
Didn't they like they yelled something or they're saying something?
It was just scream like Goku in front of the Washington Memorial.
I did see that.
I don't know why.
I know a guy that's getting another one ready here in Cape at Halloween to like sing that this is Halloween on the steps of SEMO of something. I don't know. We're here to talk about wrestling tonight. We just wrapped up CCW Live on the Cape Championship Wrestling Facebook page. If you didn't catch it live, you might be able to catch the replay this time. Jason himself hit the button, so if it doesn't work, it's on Jason.
He also cheated because he saved the video externally.
Thank God.
So
that might be the savior.
So if CCW doesn't actually, so if Facebook eats it again, we have a backup, hopefully. Yeah. I don't know how all of that works, but.
But let's get to wrestling. We talked about, I mentioned this at the opening of the show. You might be thinking, what do you mean by karma and justice? There's two great, great things that happened this week, and let's start with what I think is the most bestest. And that is that Sexy Star was stripped of the,
Keep going. Keep going. But I disagree.
Really?
Yeah.
Sexy Star stripped of the, what is it? The Rana's, I don't know how to pronounce it correctly without seeing it in front of me. But the Triple A Championship, mm-hmm. Women's Championship. She has been stripped of it due to what happened between her and Rosemary at Triple Mania. And I think that is the most karmic thing this week, but Asa disagrees.
Yes.
What do you think?
Her having to lose the belt cleanly in the middle of the ring. To anyone. Because now, it's the same thing we kind of talked about when GFW stripped El Patron.
Yeah.
Now, she has, especially with the way that her BS apology that she finally got around to releasing, that was four pages of refusing to acknowledge Rosemary's even name,
yes.
Questioning the fact that she's actually injured, and just saying, well, I try my hardest in championships, I fight with all I have for the fans, you know, She tried to make it a storyline thing, and that's what they're going to do again, because AAA is a garbage company.
Yes.
She won't actually be. She has now vacated the championship three times.
I want to read her apology, and I want to read it. This is actually the better version of it, because the first translation that we read was almost incomprehensible.
Because just the
Babblefish doesn't work right.
Well, they wanted to be the first ones to get it posted.
Right.
So they like ran it through Google Translate once. And
horribly.
Yeah, it did.
Horribly. It sounded bad. This is the, this translation is from Fightful, and it says, these past days have been very difficult for me. On Saturday, I had a championship match, and it was rough. I think everything just got out of hand. I don't know. It's a situation that right now I'm still a bit confused about. I want to remain silent for the time being, and when the time comes, I will touch upon this topic. Men and women want to end me, retire me from the sport. I'm here, like I said, from the beginning, and I won't stop representing all the women that have been mistreated and abused physically and psychologically. I have to be stronger. At one time, I went through depression, and I managed to get out of that predicament, and I will get out of this one as well. I was doing what I felt needed to be done, what people deserve, and that is to fight tooth and nail to the end. That's what happened, and I made her surrender. It seems that, again, she didn't mention her name, is mm-hmm. injured. I just don't know. That's the only thing that I can say. Go to hell.
That was the original one. She posted like a 4-page one. Like this giant rambly again playing herself. It's like she believed, like she thinks she's really her Lucha Underground character.
Yeah, she is Sexy Star.
But she also flat out questions. She's like, well, if she was so hurt, why was she walking around in the back? I saw her walk to the back. How injured could she really be? You know, cause whenever you tear a tricep.
It goes right to the legs.
Yeah. The tricep is directly connected to the hamstring.
Now, Allie, I want to address this to you.
Okay.
As someone, and you said this on the show before, so I hope I'm not overstepping my bounds. But as someone who suffered mental, psychological abuse,
mm-hmm.
to hear someone like this, and it's a woman, so it's a little bit different, but for her to say, I won't stop representing all the women that have been mistreated and abused physically and psychologically, stemming from something she did unprovoked to another wrestler, how insulting is that?
It's very insulting because it doesn't really sound real. It sounds more like an easy excuse. It's kind of like when someone gets discriminated, but that's not really affecting anything at the moment, but they use it to make it sound like it is.
Mm-hmm.
And it just makes everyone that does deal with trauma seem like they aren't really being affected by anything. It lessens their actual trauma from what they went through.
So she is not your hero?
No.
Okay. I want a verification on that, just in case
really,
I got that wrong.
Now, what helped you was emotionally or maybe physically, I'm not sure. You know, we've been friends for a couple years now, but was what helped you get through that and really rise out of that depression was assaulting another woman, right?
Yeah, I ripped her arm off.
Like, doing that to someone else is what...
Yeah.
That's the way to really show.
Yeah.
To show that you were, especially someone unprovoked.
Yeah.
Like, you didn't do it to someone that deserved it. You just found someone randomly
mm-hmm.
who said, hey, Allie, do you need something? And you torqued her arm until it was almost ripped off of her shoulder. This is, Dalton, this to me is one of the most ridiculous things I've ever read in my life. This is an insult in every, this is, I feel dirty reading it. Like, I feel like I need to take a shower after reading it. It's so insincere. And if she truly believes this, I think that she may have legitimate mental conditions. What do you think?
You say gross. It is a horrible ploy to try to not look like the garbage human that she is. I wasn't here last week, so I didn't get to talk about it.
Yeah.
But Rosemary's completely correct. Sexy Star didn't prove anything. You mean she slapped in a tight arm bar on somebody that gave her her arm?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Good. If I gave Asa my arm right now, Asa not having a lick of submission training, he could pop my arm out of place.
Are you assuming?
No, because if I give him my arm.
You are assuming.
But no, like it's.
No, I get what you're saying.
Yeah, but like, she's not impressive. I hope this ruins her wrestling career.
See,
it's looking like it. I mean, maybe it, like in America, I have a feeling she's done.
See, so in America, probably. There's
but she was never a huge star in America to begin with, so what does it matter?
I don't know how much she was actually working in America. We know she worked for Wrestle Circus. They already canceled her VIP appearance and replaced it with Rosemary.
Which, good.
Which was amazing.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things, I feel like this is just a temporary step that AAA is taking to try to shield themselves from all of this bad publicity, because there are people who have never heard of AAA.
Right.
Who know what AAA is because of this instance.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not something that they...
Well, no publicity is bad publicity.
Stop it.
No,
all
we're
publicity
not.
Publicity is good publicity.
No, we're not doing this right now.
We're not doing that?
No.
Okay.
But so, and it's the fact that it was a GFW talent too is... This just feels like, okay, we're going to strip her of the championship to appease GFW because AAA needs them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they may hopefully realize that, you know, a good working relationship with them is more important than keeping one person's ego happy.
Yeah.
But at the same time, stripping her of the champ, it's weird because on the one hand, like, she should lose it to somebody just clean.
Rosemary,
like, not even
via armbar.
Anything. Via just, you know, like, they sneeze at her and she just falls over.
Yeah, I mean,
and they stretch her out. But at the same time, like, after she pulls something like that, are you going to trust her to go out and do the plan? Like, if, hey, you're going to go lose this match to someone.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I don't like that person. No.
Well, honestly, like, and I mean, Mexican wrestling, you have the two big companies. Unfortunately, and I hope nobody gets upset that I'm saying this, she works for the scummy one. Like, I know CML is like not perfect, but it is a way more like, not as scummy promotion is AAA.
And isn't that a testament to a lot of the wrestlers that do it the right way? Then we talked about this with Brandon, going out there and working with someone you don't like. How many times have we seen in wrestling where people will go out and lose in an embarrassing fashion to someone that they hate, but because they did something wrong or it was a decision that they were told to do, they did it. No, now, Sexy Star would never do that.
Now, I want you to say what you're about to say because it's what's in my head too.
Edge and Christian's podcast, they talked about it, and he's just like, yeah, when me and Matt Hardy were going through our thing, like, we legitimately hated each other.
Yeah.
But we were professionals.
Yeah.
And we went out there, and yeah, we were stiff with each other, you know, and stuff maybe got never out of hand, but went farther than it probably should have. But it was never a thing that anyone who wasn't actively looking for it would notice.
Yeah, because it's the whole thing. Like, he even said, like, and it wasn't maybe not on that podcast, but I think he said it on, like, a movie or, like, one of the documentaries that they used to do, mm-hmm. was just like, no, if there's somebody I'm going to trust to do a 13-foot leg drop off of a cage, it's Matt. And that was in the middle of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, like, and I'm willing to say that if there was any heat, which it seemed like there wasn't, anything that Rosemary and Sexy Star would have had was nothing compared to Edge and Matt.
Well, yeah, because nothing between Sexy Star and Rosemary.
That's it's just like there was no point for what happened.
And that's the part that gets me is like, if they strip of the there's only one way to do this, and that is two ways to do it. You take the title off of her clean, you have someone beat her in an embarrassing fashion. Mm-hmm. Like, she goes out and the smallest Spike Dudley comes back. No, he's a man. That's wrong too. You get some midget to come out there.
Marco.
Nah, you can't really say midget. He's a man too, sort of.
And the loses for him, half.
You get someone to go out there that obviously would never beat her, and she loses, and she's embarrassed, and then you know what you do after that? You fire her. That's what you
See,
do.
And that's what they should, like, if they're gonna strip her of the championship, they should just fire her.
Yeah. Which they won't. The other part of that is you publicly fire her without stripping her. Or without losing. If you wanna strip her of the title, that's fine, mm-hmm. but you make an example out of her. You don't let her give a bullshit excuse and try to save face. There is no reason for Sexy Star to save face in this. She should be made to look like a complete monster because she is.
I would love to see her, like her first match back. Like, oh, hey, by the way, it's a mask versus mask match. Against who? Taya Valkyrie.
I was just about to ask.
Doesn't wear a mask. Yeah.
She does now for this match.
Isn't this the same belt that they took, like they stripped Taya of?
Yes.
Oh, God.
To give to Sexy Star.
Which is why they are going, in her excuse, she tried to play it up and make it sound like this is all part of a big storyline. It's, to be 100% clear, everyone is aware it's not. She's not fooling anybody. But when she comes back, she will get the championship back at some point, and it will be part of a story of her road to redemption. After everyone was, you know, did their best to take everything they could away from her.
Yeah, she's the victim.
Yeah.
That's the thing. That's the thing that pisses me off. And I think that Ali was touching on the most is that when they portray a monster as a victim, mm-hmm. it takes away from real victims. And I would love to say that they would never do something like that here in America. I truly believe they would. I know there are scummy organizations in America too, but it's sad and it's an insult to not only wrestling, but just humanity that she is allowed to save face when she assaulted somebody.
And when I say scummy, like the reason that it's such a big deal that AAA are kind of dirtbags is because it's not like WWE does some bad stuff. But not that level. Like, if somebody would have pulled that, the last time somebody at WWE decided to take liberties with somebody that hard, they saddled him with a mop for the rest of his time there. Like, mm-hmm. WWE does not play that game.
Well, I don't know if that's the last one, because I remember when Bob Holly tried it on Lesnar. The difference is Lesnar just, like, beat the crap out of him.
Oh, actually, well, I bet I know what the last one was. He's our current Universal Champion.
But even that was planned.
Yeah.
To be fair, and I'm not defending it.
No,
but
that
was at least planned.
You're right.
It's not like they told Rosemary, hey, Sexy Star is going to really like break your arm.
Mm-hmm. So defend. Cool?
But she knows how to do it right.
Yeah. So it'll look like she's ripping it out of the joint, and she is. That's all.
The end.
Yeah. So, yeah. F that.
Yeah. And this is also the same company that I don't know if we talked about it last week, but we talked about it before, where they will trademark names out from underneath wrestlers leaving them.
Yeah.
Like, that's why it's not, you can't go and watch Pentagon Jr. wrestle.
Right.
You can't just go watch Phoenix wrestle. It's all these different names that they've had to go because, and they did the same thing to Alberto Del Rio and El Patron. He was supposed to film a big angle at Triple Mania, but he found out that they took the Mexican trademark for Alberto El Patron. And he's like, I'm not going to work with a company who did that. So now his Bound for Glory plans are kind of up in the air. They're apparently going to try to find another like an independent promotion to try to film this angle, but it was supposed to be at AAA and they kind of, which, I mean, you can make the argument that it's scummy of Alberto to, you know, back out of something like that he said he was going to do. But at the same time, like, no, I'm not going to work with a company who stole my name.
It's like they fired the first shot and he was responding in kind. I can kind of understand that. I wish this was the end of the story. I truly do. I wish it was sexy star exiled from wrestling, mm-hmm. Rosemary champion, and everyone's happy. But because of what it is, we know it's not, and we will keep you updated on it.
Yeah.
Let's move on, though, to the other, I feel like, is kind of karmic justice. JBL is gone from announcing in WWE.
I mean, kind of, but it's...
That's why I said this was the lesser
one. It's a good... Like, I mean, I'm happy he's gone because I've not... Like, I used to really, really enjoy JBL's commentary.
But it got silly.
But it was before he came back.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, because remember, we talked about it before. Like, man, don't you miss JBL? And it was like, yeah, there were times people said that. But yeah, now he's gone. But also the reason I don't know if it's necessarily karmic because he didn't get fired. He stepped down because he wants to work with his charity. He wants to put more focus on his charity.
And
which is good, which is like, you know.
That is a good thing he should be commended for.
For all of the speculation over the whole Mauro Ranallo thing.
Yeah.
And the not so speculation of his previous history of past behavior.
Right.
Like, I mean, you can't take away that this is a good thing that he's doing.
Well, it's like whenever WWE does stupid things, we call him out on it, but then they do something nice, tribute to the troops, the Connor, you know, foundation, stuff like that.
Yeah.
You deserve to get an acknowledgement. But at the same, I read, and this is dirt sheet stuff, so whether you take it or, you know,
is it the speculation on why he asked for his release for 10 months and then didn't get it for 10 months or?
Well, partly that, and I'll let you mention that in a second, but just the big thing that Vince McMahon apparently, from what I've read, and this is what a lot of the rumor mill is saying, and some pretty good sources say that they wanted to fire JBL, but Vince McMahon would not let them. He refused. He took JBL's side, knowing that what JBL had done was so wrong, but he's loyal to his people, and he took his side, and they did not fire him. And then JBL asked for his release 11 months ago.
Yeah,
I think it was.
11th, yeah.
Because they didn't want him to go so quickly. Something about they didn't want it to look like he was being fired for that
incident.
Yeah,
so that was a speculation that I heard was just like, well, yeah, no, he asked for his release 11 months ago. But that was around the same time the whole Mauro Ranallo thing like popped up,
and no one is going to believe,
and nobody's going to believe that he left on his own accord
to go work for a charity.
Yeah, right. It's like the whole thing, like with my place of work, like what I do, and people are being like, "Well, no, they were asked to resign,"
mm-hmm. or like when Bill O'Reilly said, "I'm going on vacation," right when that big scandal hit, and then mm-hmm. he was fired the week after.
Yeah.
Of course, you're going on vacation now.
Sure.
Yeah,
it's a lovely farm,
and like,
where all sorts of bigots can run and play.
Those are the worst farm animals. Did you feed the bigots today?
You did? Damn it.
Don't you hear them yelling out there? Anyway, so yeah, JBL being gone is good on a bunch of different levels. I hope there was some part of this that was related to the Mauro Ranallo thing, just because I'm a firm believer in I want justice. Mm-hmm. I don't want him to get away with something that he did wrong. I want him to at least know that part of the reason he's gone is because of that.
I mean,
but even if he's not, at least he's gone, and we no longer have to listen to JBL on commentary.
Yeah, and now we get the best commentary team WWE has to offer.
As long as they don't screw it up.
I know. Like, their personalities will shine through, and I use personalities very loosely for the third one.
Byron Saxton?
We have Corey Graves, Tom Phillips, and Byron Saxton.
Yeah.
I like that team up.
No, I love that
team up. I even like Byron Saxton in that team up.
Because of Corey Graves. Corey Graves is probably my favorite commentator. Like,
and they work well together.
Not of all time, but in... Ask me again in 5 years.
Right.
Yeah.
Because I could see him taking it. Like, legitimately. But it's because, go back and watch his NXT stuff where it was just him and Tom Phillips.
Oh, it's
they
so
have
great.
Such great chemistry. They work so well together. And then even like, he made Byron Saxton relatable. And like, because the way he kind of like picks on him, but then eggs him on normally Byron is so soft spoken and he doesn't really want to get his, you know, he's not very assertive in getting points across. But whenever Corey Graves is just kind of like prodding him, he gets a little worked up. He wants to like, no, this is what I think. And then when he conveys that, it feels real and it feels legitimate. And he brings out the best in the two people that he's working with. And Tom Phillips is already a really good play-by-play guy.
Yeah.
He's my favorite play-by-play in wrestling right now. That's Cole included.
Yeah.
I could see why, but Mauro still.
I didn't even think about Mauro.
Who's doing 205 Live with McGinnis?
So Corey Graves sent out a tweet because they announced that Corey Graves was taking over for JBL. We don't know if it's permanent, but it, you know, at least for the time being. And a lot of people were like, oh, he's being moved off of Raw, all this other stuff. So Corey Graves is still going to be on Raw. He's also going to be on SmackDown. 205 Live is now going to be, he's going to be off 205 Live, but he's being replaced by Nigel McGuinness.
Which is a good trade.
So yeah, no, I watched 205 Live last night because I needed to see the,
the what?
The number one contendership five way.
Now I will say.
Who won that?
Mm-hmm.
Allie, if you had a dime for every time that Enzo was not the number one contender, you know how many dimes you'd have?
Zero.
I mean, a lot of dimes.
Yeah,
just
but
not
like,
currently.
Yeah.
Just not currently.
And like the annoying part of that match was all of it because it was just like Cedric Alexander.
Enzo?
I mean,
well, no, Cedric Alexander looked like a champion until the last like 30 seconds.
When Enzo kind of cheated to roll him up and
kind of cheated?
I kind of think I honestly think that they're going to try to not do a double turn, but they're going to try to turn Enzo against Neville because I think they know that the crowd. I don't know. I don't know.
It's dumb.
So they're doing a good job of making Enzo not really likable.
Yeah.
Because his first two matches, he's cheated to win.
My two cents on this real quick. We'll get rid of the JBL thing. That's pretty much done.
Yeah.
Other than that Nigel McGuinness is on main event and 205 Live.
Yeah, thanks for a couple of good commentary moments.
Yeah. But the Enzo on 205 Live, I'm probably in the minority, but I think it was a great. Maybe you guys agree. It's a great move.
I get it.
We were talking about it like when we were watching Raw, we were texting each other. I was like, no, Enzo is doing a great job putting eyes on 205 Live, probably doing a better job than what Austin Aries did. The issue is that he just got put in and he's not Austin Aries. He's not that good of a wrestler to be like, no, I can beat all these guys. But now he's doing Eddie Guerrero shtick, which is what you told me, Asa, only he's doing a real, real, real poor job of it.
Yeah. But you know, the one thing that I think we forget about wrestling sometimes, and if I'm off base, you know, let me know in a nice way, is that we still think like, oh, but I like this guy. Asa's getting ready. I like this guy. He's a better wrestler. I like seeing him in the ring more. Yeah, but you know, a lot of the times it comes down to who sells the most, who gets the most attention.
Oh, no,
and
yeah,
Enzo,
you're absolutely right.
Yeah, no,
you're
Enzo is right. Head and shoulders above everyone else on that show. No offense to anyone on that show.
No.
And that's WWE's fault, not theirs.
No, yeah, and you were 100% right. It is just whenever you look at the 205 Live roster.
Oh, it's insane.
And then you look at who their number one contender is.
Oh,
like,
it's insane.
Because I like watching wrestling when there's a story involved. That's why I like CCW so much. That's why I like Stride so much. Like, the reason that I have not been so high on like the New Japan stuff as a lot of people is because I don't have the story going in. I want to know the reason why these guys are fighting. And I understand that's totally a personal opinion.
Yeah.
That said, I just love wrestling too.
Right.
Like I can sit down and watch a match, have no idea who either guy is and let them tell the story because if they're good at it, then they'll be able to draw you in. Neville is probably like, he's got the run of his career and like six other careers.
Yeah.
He's absolutely on fire right now. But then I want to see him go up against like Cedric Alexander and Tony Nese and Brian Kendrick and just all of these guys. And Enzo's just like, I don't like him in the ring and I'm sick of him on the microphone. And again, I know that's totally a personal preference. I just can't. But then when he comes out on Raw and steals Eddie Guerrero's lines and Eric Bischoff's lines, like, no.
But in a way, I think that's what they're going with him. Like they're making him so obnoxious that like you can't take your eyes off of him. You know who Enzo is? Enzo is Bender in the episode of Futurama where he's on All My Circuits.
Oh, when he takes over?
Yeah, he's that. He's the guy that shows up and acts like a complete asshole and no one likes him, but everybody's like, I can't take my eyes off of him. And WWE, they see that and they go, that's money. And it is. So they're like, okay, let's put him in a contest with Neville. Tozawa, he had his one title reign, scoot him away. Mm-hmm. So what if he deserves it? Let's get Enzo on here because people love that scrappy little chicken from Looney Tunes.
Mm-hmm.
That's always the chicken hawk. That's always picking on Foghorn Leghorn.
So Corey Graves had the line of the night on Monday Night Raw because it was a six-man tag. Mm-hmm. And it was
You're talking about 205 Live, right?
No, this is on Raw.
But the Cruiserweights.
Yeah, the Cruiserweights are on Raw.
Then it's always a six-man tag.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Heyman was entertaining on the microphone.
Enzo was
Reigns was there.
Enzo was with Grand Metalik and Cedric Alexander. And like he's doing his shtick, and he's just like he looks at Matt Talik and he's like, I don't know how to say how you doing in Spanish, and like it's just a dumb line. But at the very end of the match, Corey's like, I looked it up. It's como estás. How hard is that? And just like, oh, Corey, you are the absolute.
This was
best.
After he called him queso picanto. Because he's a Mexican guy, and queso is.
Oh, God, that Enzo.
But yeah, no, Corey Graves is just that line, just because I was watching it here at the store by myself. And
you're
he's
actually
just,
making yourself laugh at
I am. Queso picanto.
But yeah, no, just hearing Corey
Where
Graves.
Where does he come up with it?
And this is the show. What's next? Yeah, no. What's next? Yeah, we're done. Okay. Enzo's garbage.
All right, how about some good news? All right. Sami Zayn's mobile clinic is up and running in Syria.
Woot! Yes.
That's great news.
Yeah.
No laughing about that. He just did, what was it, a fundraiser he did recently, or what was it that he was doing
well,
before?
Well, he had I don't think it was a GoFundMe. It was something like that.
I think he had a website set up for people to send money.
Yeah, to be able to send money to. And he was doing a thing where for the week or two before leading up to SummerSlam, he was matching each donation up to $10,000.
Which awesome.
Yeah.
Because,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Which this is he's very outspoken because, you know, he's from that area. And someone, like, he did an interview talking about it and he mentioned, like, well, you know, coming from there and, like, I know the landscape and how hard it is. And, you know, I wouldn't, if I didn't have access to certain things, like, I may not still be here. So what if we are losing, you know, the next great somebody? Which, I mean, not even that, just because he cares about everybody.
Right.
But, yeah. You know, if someone's not, you never know who is going to be, who comes from where.
Right.
And so it's such a nice thing to see him do and to be so successful with. Like, he actually.
Although, Allie, they need to go easy on the antibiotics. Adam told us that.
He did.
He ruined it.
He did.
We watched a couple of episodes of Adam ruining everything today.
I like Adam.
He's, oh yeah, I know it's the best.
I do.
But no, like, Sami Zayn, like, he is one of those people that is such an amazing ambassador for WWE, which at a certain point I want to say they don't deserve.
He's kind of like, well, I was going to say he's kind of like Titus O'Neil, except he's much better in the ring. But Titus O'Neil
is an amazing person.
Great, like, great ambassador for WWE. Like, yeah. So, yeah. They've got a couple guys in there that are just like good for the company.
Yeah. And it's one of those just being like, I understand why they can't give Titus a world title reign, but like that would look really good.
But it would be nice if Sami Zayn even got like an Intercontinental US tag.
He hasn't won a belt since he's been on the main roster.
Nope.
To be fair, Titus O'Neil did hold the heavyweight title in my SmackDown versus, or WWE 2K16, I believe. He was champion on NXT. For
he's won more belts on the main roster than Sami Zayn has.
Yep.
Aura.
Thanks.
Millions
Thanks,
of
Darren.
Titles.
Do
of
the
titles.
Bark thing. Aura, aura.
Oh God, who yelled that at him?
Zack Ryder.
That's right.
That's one of my favorite things ever. Zack Ryder.
That was the NXT season, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah. And he was his mentor. And Zack goes, "Do the bark thing." Aura, aura, aura.
Someone posted the when they rigged when Daniel Bryan and Derek Bateman rigged the Know Your Superstar, Know Your Pro.
Oh yeah.
I don't remember that.
They did a thing where it's like they had three answers and it was like, what is something you think you could improve on? One of the questions was, what would you like to be? What does your pro think you would be if you weren't a wrestler? Steve Blackman? Steve Blackman! The other one was like, it was like, what do you think you should improve on? It's like Seattle, Washington.
Yeah, no.
And the last one was America. Just
anything we can do to mention Steve Blackman, I'm fine with.
As a kid, I've said this so many times on Reddit, like anytime he shows up, but as a kid, I was convinced he was a future world champion.
Oh yeah, no, because he was the most dangerous man.
Yes, and he was. Yeah. Yeah. Did you see the nunchucks and the
tonfas or whatever?
The glowy sticks. And, yeah. He could be anybody.
He fought in a match where they circled cars and he fought in the middle of it. It was, remember that? Did he do that?
I mean,
he did
probably.
One of the,
I just don't think
it was
on TV.
Match things, like one of the gimmick cage match things.
Who did that one? It was
Shamrock and Owen Hart.
Oh, maybe it was Shamrock. Yeah, he was also dangerous. He was the world's most dangerous man.
He no. sure was.
Steve Blackman.
He's a bail bondsman now. Did I ever show you those commercials? Those are they were great.
You're sending those to me.
Those are fantastic. Speaking of old school wrestlers, this is kind of a weird story, and I just read about this today for the first time about Jeff Jarrett. Apparently, Jeff Jarrett is taking a quote unquote leave, definitive.
Indefinite
leave of absence
from GFW.
Due to his quote unquote erratic behavior.
Which it's really sad because what that means is he showed up super wasted at Triple Mania and Ed Nordholm was there.
Oh.
So, and apparently this has been an issue for a while, is him dealing with his. An alcohol issue, so he is being there's a lot of speculation going on based on a Sports Illustrated article, but Sports Illustrated Online is now like Forbes Online, where anyone can submit anything.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, okay. There is a lot of talk about Jeff Jarrett potentially being fired, him just not coming back, and it's all speculation. Nothing has been like made official yet.
Right.
But something that is super interesting is, it is very likely that if Jeff Jarrett is let go, he will retain the rights to the GFW name.
Which is why I don't think he'll be fired.
Yeah. But then there's also all the, and again, this is all wild speculation. None of it is confirmed. apparently, Anthem wants out.
Yeah. I was just about to say, this is courtesy of Sports Illustrated. You can't really get much more authentic than Sports Illustrated.
Did you just hear what he said?
Yeah, but I have the quote.
Is it from Sports Illustrated? Like, did somebody from SI do it?
Yeah.
Or
no, okay. Like, because they're like, is it an actual Sports Illustrated writer or is it an online source?
Justin Brasso of Sports Illustrated.
Okay. Because one of the things that
this is on SportsIllustrated.com.
Yeah, they. I can't tell if you're doing a bit.
I looked down here for a second. I must have missed it.
Because it's like Forbes.com now, where people can just post articles.
Oh hell, I'm gonna check it out. I'm sorry. Yeah, no. I looked at this for 2 seconds and I must have blacked out for a second. I feel stupid.
Yeah, if you want to do a background on that author or the writer, then we can.
I don't know Justin Barrasso, but.
I mean, I don't know his work, so. Yeah. But yeah, no, like, it's one of those.
I didn't see you had it listed. Mm-hmm. Like, you had the Jeff Jarrett thing, but not that Anthem or Wanted Out. And I had that story pulled. I pulled that story up while you said that, and I must have blacked out for a second and missed it completely. Mm-hmm. I am so sorry. I apologize heavily to you right now. Please go ahead, since you were going to basically say the same thing I was going to say.
But yeah, so it apparently Anthem wants out of TNA. They're losing, or they went out of GFW. They're losing a lot of money.
Hemorrhaging funds.
Which I don't know if I believe that, because they literally just did a thing where I can't remember. I've had an article and it's gone now.
That's my fault.
But they had a five. They
I
had
took
like
that from you.
They said that like they said that they had a 5-year plan in place. They're less than a year in.
Yeah.
And unless they did not do their research and like went in completely unknowing of what this product is and what they were getting themselves into, I don't know how much I buy it. But that said, I mean, you never know. And at the same time, like TNA, GFW has been bleeding money and going out of business
for like a decade
day now, yeah, for 10 years.
Well, they're like TNA. Every time you turn on the news, it's another story about them going out of business.
It's one and the same. Yeah. It's the same company.
Now they
just different owners.
They announced a new deal with Pop TV for GFW. Did you read this? I don't know if this just went up. Maybe if you hadn't a chance to see it yet.
I did. Oh, yeah, no. Where they extended their contract by another year? Something like that? Yeah.
But who owns the TV rights then at that point?
Well, I believe Jarrett owns that stuff, right?
No, he may just own the name. Anthem may own the TV deal.
From what I read is that if GFW pulls out, especially, Anthem can only sell Impact Wrestling. That's all they have. They have no rights to GFW.
Well, yeah, no, but like what I'm saying is the TVN may be Anthem.
So I'll be honest with you. I'm confused as hell as to who owns what and what company is what anymore.
Well, we should give it a week or two.
I think they are too, because another thing that I read is that apparently this merger was not as finished as a lot of people thought.
Somebody didn't read a contract.
I'm so confused.
Yeah.
Like, because for the longest time, I thought Anthem owned Impact, and that was a thing. Then they were working with GFW. But then it's like, but no, GFW pretty much is Impact now. But now it's not. Now GFW is its own thing, and also they want out because they're losing money. But also they announced this. What the hell is going on?
That's why I think GFW is the name that Jared owns, but Anthem is the TV thing. Like, I think Anthem is controlling the TV end of things, because that's the only reason they'd still be attached to it.
So GFW has announced several new global and digital expansions, including the extension of their deal with Pop TV. Mm-hmm. They're launching a multi-platinum digital service called the Global Wrestling Network.
Cool.
Which is 24 hours access to, a day access to GFW and Impact libraries. They're
How
launching,
much is it a month?
They don't say.
Oh.
They're launching Impact Wrestling Channel on Pluto TV, a 24-hour live feed of content on the leading free over-the-top television service in the U.S., the Pop TV extension. They don't say how long it is. They have a distribution deal with 7 Sports. They have 3 digital initiatives and broadcast agreements. So I'm reading this at the same time. There's another article, 2 articles away, that says GFW wants out, Anthem about to die. Like, I'm more confused now than I was when TNA was running it.
Yeah, I think we should give it a few weeks on this just because there's so much speculation and there's not a lot of answers. There's so many questions and like two answers.
Matt Hardy posted a tweet that said the Hardys will outlast all, and it says delete, delete, delete. And when asked who would get the owl if they go under, someone said Reby. And she replied, man, I done owned that owl.
Reby wins Twitter once.
She always wins Twitter.
Oh.
She is the Twitter machine. So, yeah, we'll keep up with it. But, man, I don't know. I don't know. And I, again, I blanked out there for a second.
Yes, yeah, so it's just something we're going to have to keep watching. But, yeah, we know that Jarrett is – because that was officially announced. Is Jarrett was sent on an indefinite – or a – he's gone.
He's gone. Leave of absence.
He's on his leave of absence.
Yeah, which is really sad.
Which, and it is.
Is a whole level of sad.
And hopefully he's able to take this time and take care of himself.
I didn't know he had problems.
Yeah. Apparently it's been in the works for a while now, and this Triple Mania thing was kind of the last straw. Which again is sad. And
on a different level.
Yeah. You never want to see someone go through stuff like that. But, no. But yeah, but everything else is just kind of speculation at this point.
Right.
So we'll keep an eye on it.
Go
and
back.
Maybe. And then here in 3 weeks, it'll be, you know, oh, well, GFW's really going out of business now. And then in 6 months, okay, but this time.
Go back.
Anthem Wrestling is really in trouble, or whatever it's going to be called then.
Listen to any pro wrestling unscripted from the past 2 years, and almost every other episode is TNA at the doors of death this week. They will not
die.
They keep playing
Ding Dong Ditch.
Ricochet is the first person to win Bola twice.
Yes.
Woot. Very, very cool. Ricochet we saw last year at Homecoming, mm-hmm. going against the best of the best, Austin Lane, and one of the best match I've ever seen live, easily, mm-hmm. and one of the best matches I've ever seen in my life, period. Like, it was just that good, and it made us a huge fan of Austin Lane. And actually, I'll be honest, that was my second Ricochet match I'd ever seen. Mm-hmm. And you know what the first one was? It was the one everyone couldn't stop talking about.
Oh, the Will Ospreay thing?
Yeah. Mm. And the Will Ospreay match I thought was really good. I saw what some people were saying about the selling. I get it. Like, I can see why you might have a problem with that. I thought his match with Austin, because it was so fast-paced, and it was a comic book match.
Yeah, no, I was trying to think if I was still, like, if that was during my PW, whenever I wasn't here for a while.
I believe it was.
Yeah, because I wanted to talk. I thought that was a really interesting thing.
But I thought the match with Austin Lane was better, I thought, because it was a little slower and a little harder hitting. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, Ricochet's a great, great talent, and congratulations.
And just loves wrestling. Like, he's one of the people that deserves that.
Now, Allie, what does BOLA stand for?
You talked about it last night.
We talked about it last night on Afterlife, on of I Want to Believe.
Battle of Los Angeles.
Very good. You got that answer all from your own head, right?
Yeah.
All right. Cool.
No, Wikipedia.
You don't have your phone.
Exactly. So she didn't get it from Wikipedia. But yeah, no, that's going back to AAA, he's someone who's been pretty screwed by AAA because the way that they did that giant break in between part one and part two of season three has cost him, like, he can't go somewhere and be on TV. You know, Meltzer's talking about, like, you know, if I was him, I would be in NXT by now. Like, that's where he thinks he's on his way to.
I think that would – I'm surprised he's not there yet. Yeah. Like, especially and now that we've seen so many – the recent guys that have gone there, Kyle O'Reilly, Adam Cole.
Baby.
But I wasn't going to do it. Somebody would. Ricochet's awesome, though.
I'm willing to say, like, if I'm going to make a comparison, Ricochet is the Rob Van Dam of the rest of the indie world that's not WWE.
Except he's a really good wrestler.
So is Rob Van Dam. But what I'm saying is, like, he's one of those people that is just going to make money anywhere he goes, so I don't think he necessarily needs NXT yet. Not saying anything, like, foul of Kyle O'Reilly, Bobby Fish, or Adam Cole. He's just one of those people. Jesus. He's just one of those people that's just like, no, I get why he's not in NXT yet. Because he's still making an ignorant amount of money elsewhere.
But also, he can't. Like, even if he wanted to be in NXT right now.
Is he still in Lucha Underground? Is he still
because that season is still airing.
Oh.
Because yeah. They took that giant break.
Yeah. I want to mention this real quick. It's funny that we just mentioned Battle of Los Angeles and the show last night. I just got a message from Anthony Phoenix from CCW, mm-hmm. who said, hey, dude, I just wanted to say I love that I Want to Believe show. I immediately started looking up the Battle of Los Angeles after that. If I'm interrupting your recording, my bad. Well,
Phoenix,
you were.
It's okay.
Damn you,
it's
Phoenix.
Okay.
But
it's okay. You're so nice. Yeah.
Gladly take it. Moving on. Matt Riddle and Jeff Cobb going to be a part of New Japan Pro Wrestling.
Cool.
Yes.
Jeff Cobb, and what a beast.
Have you ever seen Matt Riddle?
I've never seen Matt Riddle.
He's kind of a douchebag, but he's an awesome wrestler. He's an ex-UFC guy.
But we love Jeff Cobb.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited about Jeff Cobb.
Yeah, because they're going to be part of the tag team, what's it called? World Tag League.
So they're a tag team together?
I think so. I could be wrong, or I don't remember. The way I read it, like, I went to two different sources, and they both worded it the same, so I'm pretty sure they just, like, sourced each other type deal. They are going to be there, but the way it read is that they will be a tag team.
Mm-hmm.
Which,
yeah, that's a good...
Good luck, everybody else!
Do you want to get thrown by a big guy, or do you want to get thrown and submitted by a little guy? Your call.
Yeah, Jeff Cobb is a sight to see.
Thrown
man.
Far, thrown hard.
So we saw Jeff Cobb, Blaster in CCW won his tag titles originally with Jeff Cobb against Del and Billy. When we saw Billy get picked up like that, blew my mind.
Billy telling the story of it.
Yeah.
Of just like, so how much do I need to give you?
A little bit.
Nah, just a little.
Just hop. I think that's what he said. Yeah. He's like, just hop. I'll take it from there.
Jeff Cobb is insane. He is a jacked monster beast.
He's the looking real jacked, baby. Dude.
Yeah, he was really cool.
He was super nice.
Of Okada is now the second longest IWGP champion of all time.
Yep.
And it continues. If he holds it until Wrestle Kingdom 12, he will be number one.
Yeah, he will have the longest reign if he's able to hold it all the way until Wrestle Kingdom, which I, at this point, would be very surprised if he didn't.
Yeah. Isn't he? It's Naito, isn't it?
Yeah, well, Naito.
Naito,
but yeah, he's the one who won the G1. So it's not a guarantee that that's who he'll face. But unless Naito loses the rights, because it's like Money in the Bank, except not. It's like the Royal Rumble, except a longer distance between.
Right.
And it would be like if the Royal Rumble winner had to wrestle people to
have that right.
To hold on to the right.
Right.
So it's more like the, what's it called in
Help me out.
Lucha Underground? Phoenix won it and he cashed it in on
different Phoenix.
Mil Muertes.
Yeah. I can't think of what it's called.
It's like the Seven Tribes. They had a championship title that basically was the same. Like it was the Money in the Bank, except you had to give like a week's notice, but you had to defend it.
And you could lose it to other people.
And you could lose it because Phoenix lost it to, the Hunter dude, and he's got the,
Archer.
No. Wow, this is really annoying.
It's
I can't
like
think
King
of it.
Or something.
That's at Tesla.
Moving
warfare.
On.
Yeah.
It's.
Yeah.
Not important.
You know, I've heard
King
some...
Cuerno. King Cuerno. I got it.
I knew it was King.
I've heard some people say that they found Okada boring.
Who?
It's online. Who?
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 I mean, that's online. Yeah, no.
Yeah, people are going to always find problems with it. And I wasn't too familiar with Okada until like this year, maybe last year. And I've become a big fan of him.
It was probably the Nakamura match.
Nakamura and Okada.
The Omega match was when
that
I
was
really
the first,
came on board.
That was the first one that, like, that series of matches that they've had have just been.
Yeah. The Omega Okada, like, rivalry, I think is one of the best ones going.
Yeah.
Or was going. And the Rainmaker, he's just really cool.
Mm-hmm.
He's huge over there.
Yeah, no, like, we were talking about weird, cause we were watching the Mae Young Classic and we were talking about, like, Kairi Sane and Nakamura.
Mm-hmm.
And we were just like, Hideo Itami is, like, the only not weird Japanese wrestler. And I said, no. No, because
you two said that. I said that. You looked at Asa and said, "We." I said that to you, and I also said
Ibushi.
Itami. No, I said
no,
Itami.
You said Itami.
Yeah,
because
Ibushi's
said...
not in WWE.
Oh my god!
I thought you just meant like in general. So, I'm sorry.
So please go on.
So yeah, no, we were saying those two. He's like, well, Itami's the only one that's not really weird, and I was like, no, Okada's not weird. Okada's not a weird wrestler. He doesn't do things like Kairi Sane and Nakamura and a lot of other Japanese wrestlers. He's just a
He's like a prize fighter.
Yeah, no, he's just
a,
scary.
He's arrogant, but in like a kind of Floyd Mayweather kind of way.
Yeah,
like, I mean, there's a handful of guys in New Japan that are like that. I'm totally blanking on the guy who we just made the big deal about him coming back at
Shibata. Jesus.
Yeah, good bread. Shibata's a very like no nonsense. Just I'm gonna hit you real hard. One of us will get up.
And I would say Ibushi, because Ibushi was like that in the CWC.
In the CWC, yes.
CDT Pro.
Yeah, exactly. Anyone that's been through there, pretty much.
What, you mean half of the former tag team Golden Lovers?
Anyway, let's talk about the Mae Young Classic, because Dalton has been foaming at the mouth. He's been texting me like, yeah, we're talking about the Mae Young Classic. I'm watching it for the winner.
Oh, I'm
like,
sorry.
Dude, shut your mouth and know your role. Now, please talk about it.
If you haven't seen it yet, you need to try to catch, it's 8 episodes, but there hasn't been a bad episode of it. And the live finale is on Tuesday, so you have about 5 days to watch all of it.
Plenty of time to catch up.
Yeah, and they're an hour long episodes, but they're all really good. There's really not a bad match. There's some, like, obviously better than others. Abby Lath Her first round match with Jazzy Gabbert was amazing. Shayna Baszler has been on fire during that. Mercedes Martinez has been awesome. Like, Kairi Sane, Tessa Blanchard was probably the best round of the first, like, only, best match of the first round.
Only thing I don't like about the Mayo.
Yeah, the lighting in the commentary.
Well, commentary is awful.
Yeah.
Like, I think I don't know what it is about JR that.
They gave him somebody that he can't feed off of.
Yeah. Lita's awful. They should have picked Trish Stratus or Renee Young or anyone else.
Or Mauro Ranallo.
Or Molly Holly.
I would just like to point out the discussion we had when the commentary team was announced.
I was openly optimistic, and I am very upset that I was wrong.
Yeah, you got to stop being optimistic, dude.
Asa was completely right.
Aim low. Disappointment hurts less.
But no, I was going to say, the thing I don't like about it is you kind of get a feeling, and I got this with the CWC too, of who the ones are that they're really favoring, you know? Because yes, they are heavily favoring Kairi Sane. They're heavily favoring Baszler. Just like they heavily favored Ibushi and TJP and guys like that. And like, not to the point that it's like Roman Reigns where you're like, oh, that guy's definitely winning. But you can tell that when Kairi Sane comes out, it's a little bit more of a, hey, everybody, Kairi Sane's here. And then Marty Bell said, I'm here too. Yeah, that's fine.
Can we get into spoilers a little bit?
Absolutely not. Yeah, go ahead.
So, like,
spoiler alert.
But like, so when we watched the CWC and there was like one or two NXT guys that were in it, like you had Gargano and Ciampa, all of the NXT people got weeded out like first, if second round, where Abby Laith was literally up until like the final eight.
Yeah.
And it's just like, all right, that was really cool. Lacey Evans like got through her match. Oh, what's her name? Bianca Belair was made. Ooh. It. Yeah. Oh, she used that whip really hard.
She whips her hair back and forth.
And it wasn't one time. Like, she used it like a strap match for like a second. It was gross.
So what's the Mortal Kombat character that uses her hair? Is it Sindel? Okay.
Yeah, but no.
She's basically Sindel.
If you haven't watched it yet, or if you're just kind of iffy about it, the live finale is on Tuesday. You need, like, if you like really good wrestling, if you can deal with some subpar commentary, it's worth the watch.
I agree.
Yeah. Like, and even
we'll
like,
recap the whole thing next
week.
Yeah,
we'll do a longer, like, review on it.
But like if you don't want to do all eight, just start watching after the first round, and that's kind of when everything really picks up. You see a lot of really, really good.
But go out of your way to watch the Kairi Sane Tessa Blanchard match.
Yeah, that's
because that one's.
Go out of your way to watch Kairi Sane.
Because that's the first. That's the no. It's not the first.
It's the
match.
Very last one of the first round.
Okay,
so
that's
it's
right.
Episode four.
Yeah.
If you start watching four on, it's really good. But I mean, even the first three episodes, there's some really solid talent there.
That reminds me of the CWC one. Wasn't it Ciampa and
Gargano
were first round?
Yeah.
And we were like, why?
How could you?
Yeah,
that was the first thing I saw whenever I saw that bracket.
Yeah, like some of those matchups, it's like you should have saved these guys for later, and then you would have had big round two and round three.
Don't worry, they'll get there.
All right, so WWE 2K18 news. They just released the final roster reveal this week.
Pre-DLC. It's very
pre-DLC.
Important.
Pre-DLC, because there are a couple wrestlers that were left off. Real quick, while Dalton's looking at, do you have the list?
I have the list of new to WWE 2K18.
Okay. So first off, Dalton is going to read the guys that are here new, which is very, very cool because there's a lot of new talent. Very surprising, Dalton.
All right. There's going to be some names that have been in WWE games before, but it's just the list that I have.
Well, this was people who were not in 17.
17 into 18.
Right.
So here's your list to 2K18. Authors of Pain, Tozawa, Sanity, Batista, Billy Kay, Peyton Royce, Bobby Roode, Cedric Alexander, Kurt Hawkins, Ember Moon, Asa, Graham Metalik. Super excited about that one.
Oh, Kanto Pequeso's in there? Oh,
shut up. Jack Gallagher.
I couldn't even get the thing right. Good. Peco Paco. Never mind.
Jinder Mahal, Joey Gargano, Maurice, TM61, Noah Jose, Noam Dar, Rhino, Rich Swan, Rick Martel. That one's weird. Roderick Strong, Rob Van Dam, Sawyer Fulton. Weird. The Brian Kendrick. TJP to Ciampa. And the one that I am the most excited for, Cassius Ohno.
Well, you're wrong already.
No, that's the one I'm most excited
wrong!
For.
Wrong!
Oh, you are the worst.
Because the best one is Rick Martel. What do you mean that's weird? I'm sorry.
No, the reason it's weird, and if I'm putting words in your mouth, correct me, but it's because look at the list of those names. Those are all like NXT. Like,
are you
those,
205
are,
live.
Those are 205 Live,
are
like,
you saying
young
just
guys.
Positioning of his name in that?
No, just the fact, and then it's like, okay, so we're bringing in all of this, like, we're making this year is about the current roster and the young talent, because that's the thing that's, you know, people have been complaining about.
Yeah.
Also Rick Martel.
Yeah, because the only,
because there's no other real, I mean, there are other legends, but they're not going out of their way to bring in people
new
who
ones.
Haven't
the
yet.
Only
but
new
the
legends.
Models. He had the atomizer of arrogance.
Yes, but like
he had a giant button that said, "Yes, I am a model."
I really hate when I get segments and this is the bit.
It was subtle.
So, yeah, Justin Smart brings out Smart Water to the ring. I get it.
Are you 18? Oh, my
Jesus.
That's bad when you get her to say that. But no, like, the only other two legends that are in it are Van Damme and Batista, but that's they're
new legends. New legends. Okay.
And they're on the Scene Enough edition.
Right.
Like, you have to pay to get those. But yeah, no, Rick Martel is being in there. But, like, I'm really excited about the new people on the roster. But there's also a very air of I get really annoyed with 2K over the, like, roster thing of being like, all right, so here's your current roster. It's about 80 people. We have 150. So that means there's, like, 60 people that I don't want. Like, I don't need natural disasters in the third straight game. I, like.
Yeah, but my reaction to that is I don't think that it's as big of a, like, them being in it did not take away new people from coming in because they already had them in other games. They could easily just update.
Yeah, and
put
them
in.
I know it's just putting the models in the game,
right,
and it's just a new engine, but, like, all right, so we're going to get into it really quick talking about the Hardy Boys. The Hardy Boys re-debuted WrestleMania 34. Is it 34? Is that the one we're on? 33, 34?
Sure. This year's WrestleMania.
This year's WrestleMania. They knew they were going to be there before that. So they had more than enough time to put the Hardys in the game. Here's what I have the issue with. I know they're going to be DLC. They have to be DLC.
More than likely.
Like, more, 90% chance they're DLC.
Because Gallows and Anderson last year were the night after WrestleMania.
Were the night after WrestleMania, and they were the
and
DLC.
They were DLC.
Yep.
Here's the big difference. This is the same complaint I had with last year's NXT edition, which I bought, is Nakamura was, you had to pay $100 to get Nakamura day one, who was the NXT champion at the time. He should have been in the $60 release. Hardy Boy should be in the $60 release. I am fine with Cian Almas not being in there because I know he's going to be part of the NXT DLC.
Oh, fight me.
No, but I know he's going to be part of the NXT DLC. Like, he doesn't need to be in the $60 release.
Why?
The Hardy Boys need to be in the $60
release. Why does Almas not need to be in there when he's been in
there
longer?
No one's even heard of the Hardy Boys.
Who's Jeff Harvey?
No. But, like,
I hope we don't give him, like, sample episodes to listen to.
But yeah, no, it's just the annoyance of being like, this is, I know it's the way to push DLC because nobody's going to buy the DLC if it's just a bunch of NXT people and a couple of current people. But like, the Hardy Boys need to be, they haven't been in a game since 2011.
You just answered your own question.
So you're
going
to pay extra to be able to be sure.
I'm going to get it regardless because I have the special edition.
Oh, but imagine someone like you. Someone like you who's buying the game, and imagine if it was reverse and it's Hardy Boys are on disc. Here's the DLC we offer featuring the natural disasters. You're going to go, I don't want that.
No,
I don't really care about the natural disasters.
Because whenever they were the DLC, I still bought the season pass. I am not a good sample for this because I buy the season pass every year.
But a wrestling fan.
A more casual fan than me.
Sees Hardy Boys as DLC is going to go, I want the DLC. I'll get the season pass for it. It's a marketing ploy. Like, I hate it too, but it's expected.
Yeah, no, like.
But what's not expected for me are some of the names that are missing. You mentioned the Hardy Boys and how they should be on. They should be on. I can see them being DLC. There is no reason that James Ellsworth is not in the game.
That's true. He got signed last year in October.
James Ellsworth is nowhere in the game that we see, not even as a manager so far. Lana is apparently as a manager only, not a wrestler.
Which means Maurice is probably a wrestler, which is kind of neat.
Which is, I agree. I love Maurice. I want Maurice more than Lana, obviously. Shelton Benjamin, not Nick. Understandable.
Contract.
The Singh brothers.
That one's weird.
That might be DLC.
Yeah, that's true. No, like 205 Live NXT enhancement.
Yeah, but here's a list of names from 205 Live. Well, Arya Daivari, like, Drew Gulak, Lince Dorado, Mustafa Ali, and Tony Nese. None of them are in the game.
That's a 5-person NXT pack.
It has to be because we have Jack Gallagher, we have Grand Metalik, we have the Brian Kendrick, we have a bunch of guys.
Tony Nese said that the technology wasn't capable enough to capture his abs.
Just him counting his abs.
That's real, actually. He tweeted that. The reason that he's not in the game is because the technology was not...
Did he really tweet that? Or?
Yeah, of course he really tweeted that.
No, that just makes me sad because that means he's not in the game.
Yeah.
Of Aleister Black's not in the game.
The UK guys aren't in the game.
Adrian Cian Almas not in the game.
But I do think the...
Liv Morgan should have been in the game if the Iconic duo was in, which I'm super happy. But Liv Morgan's not in the game. Yeah. Ruby Riott not in the game.
And again, this is like...
But Nikki Cross is. It's baffling.
Yeah, and
well,
Nikki
Cross was in there was in NXT for
first.
A while.
Yeah. The cool thing, like, the cool thing about if they do, like, a 205 Live and NXT, because they do three waves of DLC characters. You get two packs, and then you get your showcase, which adds, like, 10 more wrestlers, which I can't think of the Hall of Fame from last year, or this year's Hall of Fame, but it's usually always revolved around who made the Hall of Fame that year, and I'm I'm blanking right now of who it was.
I didn't
Angle.
Buy.
Angle. Angle's the pre-order bonus, though. So, like, you know he's going to get a match with probably, like, old Lesnar, without like the tattoos and stuff.
Old Lesnar. But well, you know what I'm scarier. Saying? Scarier.
Yeah, because he was just breaking people's
he
necks.
He was, and he was faster, and he did more than one move. All right, so we'll definitely keep you updated on 2K18 because Dalton and I are very excited about yeah, that. Cassie Allie's Soto. Indifferent. Asa, I think, dislikes it. Would you say you've seen enough of 2K?
I get it. That's the bit.
Uh-huh. Anyway, moving on. Speaking of Kenny Omega, he is injured. His left meniscus.
Yes.
That sucks.
So he's missing...
I thought he was a Terminator.
He's missing a chunk of the... Well, they just got an oil can. He's not missing a whole lot. He's missing a chunk of this tour, but he's expected to make his title defense against Juice Robinson on September 24th. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't look like it's a super serious injury.
He probably just sprained it.
It's just enough that he needs to stay off of it for a little while.
Playing it smart.
But
JD.
They did...
Austin.
Stop it.
Billy.
Stop
Brandon.
It. Everybody. We love you all. But they brought in a replacement for him, who is, it's Leo Tonga, who is, Braun Strowman is the monster among men. And I didn't put it on the list, but holy crap, that cage match.
Oh, that was insane.
Much ups to the Big Show, man.
To both of them.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Every time they've wrestled, it's been
now,
so good.
But Asa and I were texting each other really sarcastic comments, but that's because of the commentary team. That match was so much better than it had any right to be.
I mean, it's Big Show. Like, Big Show is a fantastic wrestler. Braun Strowman has grown leaps and bounds.
All the potential in the world.
Yeah.
Could be a future
legend. And apparently
they've
been, like, Big Show did Chris Jericho's podcast a while back. Apparently he's kind of taken Strowman under his wing a little.
Which is good.
Yeah. Except
Big Show's a great big man to learn from.
He's one of the all-time best.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it kind of sucks for him that he was also in the era of Undertaker and Kane. But, I mean, there's an argument to be made. I'm ignoring that.
Thank you.
But yeah, that and then the running power slam through the cage wall.
Because I did like, so they kept putting over the fact that the ring was double reinforced. And I was texting Asa and somebody else, and I was like, well, something's breaking. And then nothing broke, and then he picked him up, and I was like, wait a minute, they didn't say the cage was double reinforced. And the fact that he got Big Show up, running power slam through him.
Over the top rope.
Over the top rope in a running power slam position. Hit the cage. Kudos to the cage being double reinforced. Cause it like fell just one section and just kind of, and I got real scared that cage was going to give.
I thought he was going to do I was expecting the Lashley Umaga spot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like Brock Lesnar was going to come out and taunt him and Strowman was just going to barrel through.
But this was way better than that spot because he threw him.
I also want to mention from Raw, because this was a hot topic last week and it's still a hot topic to me. The Reigns-Cena interaction from this week I thought was better.
See, you tuned in after the first line. That's why I was like, Shannon, don't watch.
What was the first line?
Was it the Jason Jordan thing?
Yeah. It was Roman Reigns coming out and saying, like, you're so good. It took you 20 minutes to beat this guy.
You know the guy that they're pushing to the moon because he's Angle's son?
Okay. At least if that's what he said, at least it took you 20 minutes to beat this guy because you're John Cena. You're supposed to be able to fight people and beat him quick. This promo was much more of the wink, wink, nudge, nudge that I said I prefer. Mm-hmm. There was only one time I think where he outright said you're protected, but even that was very skirting the line. This promo was not an outright, you want me to do a heel turn, BS that they did last week. I thought this one was not as exciting, but better from a storyline perspective, except for the gay joke. It's 2017. Yeah. Do we need a gay joke? Really?
And I call him the big dog.
Well,
was weird.
I was looking to see if you had balls, but clearly you don't. Yeah, you would look cool.
Yeah.
Cool. If that's what you want to go with.
You think Cena just like went off script to see what he would do, and that was Roman Reigns' go-to?
For a second, I was like, how did we get to Raw? We got to Raw because Leo Tonga, who is subbing in for Kenny Omega on this New Japan tour, is the younger brother of the Gorillas of Destiny. And I use the term little brother very loosely.
Cause he's bigger than Tama, right?
He's bigger than Bad Luck Fale.
Yeah.
Like, they took a picture and he's like a head and a half taller than Bad Luck Fale. I'm excited.
Is Bad Luck Fale still allowed to wrestle in New Japan?
I think he got out of jail.
Jeez.
They brought him back to life.
Okay.
Oh, they did?
Last thing tonight.
But he killed Daryl.
Last thing tonight is we're going to talk about Stride.
Before we talk about Stride,
son of a bitch! it!
You missed the Donovan Dijak officially signs to...
Oh, did I not mention that?
No,
I'm sorry.
Donovan Dijak officially signs to the Performance Center.
Yeah. Are you familiar with him, Shannon?
Loosely.
Oh.
He's like a 6'7" dude who does springboards.
Yeah.
And it's pretty.
It's, yeah, he had a Keith Lee and him on, I think, the first night of the Bola tournament, had one of the best matches, just the best matches.
C.
Also want to point out that our video still hasn't graced CCW's page. So, Jason, you better start with one. And it wasn't my fault. It's not my fault.
No, 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 we're not
he
doing that.
The baby.
I helped. It was a fake one because the real one died in Lita's womb.
Oh!
That was the story.
Allie, be happy you weren't a fan in 2008.
It wasn't his fault.
No, it wasn't.
That was the story.
I like the way you punt babies.
But yeah, so...
I like your poetry.
So let's transitioning from...
Let's transition to Stride real quick.
Stride Pro Wrestling this weekend, Saturday at the Illinois Star Center Mall in Marion.
Yes.
Bell time is 6:30. I'm really excited for this show. The matches, the lineup that I got sent is... Cash Borden and Joey O'Reilly are teaming up to get a number one contender match for the tag team championships. Sam will make the announcement at the show of who they're competing against. That one's going to be awesome, though.
Because if you thought Jay Spade and Joey O'Reilly was a good team, Cash Borden and Joey O'Reilly. Oh.
Yeah. What's next for Heath Hatton?
Yeah.
What we have, speaking of...
By the way, just real quick, did you guys see the video that Kevin Huntsberger posted? Of him and Heath Hatton.
No, I saw he posted it, but I was at work and I meant to watch it on my lunch break, and then I forgot. And it keeps popping up on my Facebook, and I'm like, so do I just play it at work? Like, will they care?
Nothing is more terrifying than a young Heath Hatton. He's got this egghead, and he's like clean shaven, and oh my God. Heath Hatton is such a great wrestler, and such a great, just, he's great. He's got a good look, he's got the charisma, he's got everything you need.
And he's super nice, like he's yeah. Yeah.
I love Heath Hatton, but seeing him in that video with Kevin Huntsberger, that made my night.
Did you see the picture? Are you friends with Heath on Facebook?
I
really
am.
Side. Did you see the pictures of him with Carrie Fisher and Mark Hamill?
Yes.
I texted Ace. I was like, his smile with those two is the most pure and loving thing I've ever seen.
Because I thought it was Photoshopped. I thought he was trying to be funny at first. No. Until I clicked on, no. It was legit. And it was, especially the one with Carrie Fisher, yeah. Was just like.
Because it was a lot closer.
Yeah.
He was that was nice.
Yeah. Anyway, back to Stride.
Sorry.
So speaking of Jay Spade in a tag team, he's teaming up with JD to take on Big Roger Mathis, Stride Champion, and Farmer Billy Hills.
Kick him hard.
Kick hard, kick often.
That's all I got to say.
JD, you better flip around. You better, oh my God. I don't like this match.
I'm excited for it.
I'm on board for it.
So I know Billy Hills and all of his tag team partners have always been dangerous. When he teamed with Del Tucker,
this is different.
This is a whole new level. Yeah. Of, it's scary.
Would you be willing to say it's discomforting?
Only Southern Lee.
But you tried
in my southern area. I'm just comfortable right now because I don't want cute little JD is, again, I say cute. Mm-hmm. What a great wrestler.
No, yeah.
And just a future talent and just a blue chipper. And Jay Spade, I'm not as familiar with.
Oh, I love Jay Spade. I don't want him getting hurt either.
I don't want either of them to get hurt.
Yeah. Because
they're both so good.
Yeah.
And I don't trust Mathis and Billy not to kill them.
Jay scares me. Every match I've seen him in, he's too good at like selling. Like every time he lands on his back, mine hurts.
You're like that ref from TNA. When he gets hit, you jump up and go, oh! Slick?
No.
Who
has Sam chosen to take on Tony Flood for the Legacy Championship? Because there is still the story going of if Tony Flood retains the championship through the new year, he becomes the new general manager of Stride and Sam quits.
But
and
if he loses that bet, he leaves Stride.
Yes.
And I actually know who it is. I got insider information. It is Kevin Huntsberger.
Oh.
He's going to wrestle Tony Flood.
He's going
to
kill him.
We're not supposed to say.
Oh, did I? Oh, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
So.
And now we're going to get the 1-2-3 cents.
I got to edit this.
Lawsuit.
By the way, congratulations to Kevin Huntsberger on that 1-2-3 cents anniversary. I think
it's 7 years.
Yeah, that's incredible.
That's awesome.
That's incredible. Much love.
Jay Wellington Beauregard has announced a new member of the DR party.
Is it me?
And, well, are you wrestling Magnifico?
No.
Because he's going to wrestle Magnifico.
There's another one.
It looks like it.
It's like the Wayans kids at this point.
There's going to be a match for the tag team championships. It is Jerry T-Dog Travelstead and the Plumster.
Did you get their name?
Do it.
It's disciplinary action. Now, you guys, the Plumster is a teacher.
Yeah, we saw him wrestle at the benefit show in Pinckneyville.
And T-Dog's a superintendent. And the fact that their name is Disciplinary Action is my favorite thing in the world.
And like, and we kind of made jokes about it, like leading up to that Pinckneyville show.
Yeah.
Just like the Stone Cold Plumster. What's this?
He's good.
And then we watched him like, it's like, oh, he's taking this very seriously.
Yeah.
So they're taking on the Neon Nightmares Maximum Overdrive for the tag team championships.
They should just adopt that name. Scott's already saying it.
I mean, he's saying it to us mockingly. Words hurt, Scott.
So I added Scott not too long ago on Facebook because I don't think he's fun. I don't know if I have Axe on there. I think I have Axe, but I'm not sure. But yeah, Scott is, he's so much fun.
Yeah,
he's such a cool guy.
He's one of the reasons I got the Sarah app thing.
Just to mess with him.
No, because you don't have to have an. Why would I mess with him?
Why would you mess with him, you jackass?
I think I actually said something very nice to him.
I did too.
And then the last match is going to be.
And your ex-girlfriend.
I'm kind of scared for this one. Red Daniels versus Chris Hargis in a no DQ match.
Kill him, Chris.
Red. Oh, wait, did I say that out loud? No, I meant kill Red.
Chris.
Kill him Red, like kill him bloody. Red Daniels.
What?
Move on. I'm
sorry. Are you okay?
That's podcasting.
I'm blacking out again. This show sucks.
But, but a show that won't
Podzilla.
Suck. The show that won't suck. It's Stride Fallout this Saturday, 6:30 bell time.
At the Star Center Mall.
At the Star Center Mall. It's always a great show. This one sounds. I'm excited for the Billy Roger team up to, cause this will be the first time we've actually get to see them be a tag team after all of the, like, just the amount that they've built it up, just talking to them and how excited they are for it.
We've seen them in CCW together, obviously as part of the Pinnacle, but we never got to see them tag.
As a tag team.
And they have such good chemistry together and they're good friends in real life.
Yeah.
And I feel like this could be like a tag team to really watch in the future.
And then so you're going to have them and then just the pairing of them against JD and Jay Spade is going to be awesome because they're
big man versus little man tag match. And it's not like one of those ones where you expect the little guys to get destroyed because you know how good JD and Jay are. So it's interesting to see. I want to see how they tell the story. Yeah. I'm really interested in how that goes.
I'm super excited to see Cash and Joey team up too. Like that's going to be
Cash
awesome.
Cash Warden is one of my favorites.
Yeah.
Yeah. Unsung hero.
The DR party's gonna be there. Just
boo!
The
most fun to do. No. This is unscripted.
Boo!
I think we announced it was either on CCW Live or maybe we did it on PW that Dexter would no longer be in CCW for the year at least.
Yeah.
So Stride is the only place we get to see him.
Yeah.
And that really sucks because I know we talk a lot more about CCW than we do Stride, but a majority of that is because we live in Cape and they're right there, and it's so much easier for to work with them. If we could work with Stride as much, we would. Clearly, because we love Stride.
That said, nothing is set in stone yet, so I'm hesitant to announce it, but I'm going to go ahead and do it just in hopes that this will.
And if it doesn't happen now, it will happen.
It'll happen eventually and soon.
Yeah.
Even if it means I have to make a solo trip up there, we're getting it done. Because there is a big Stride. Ricky the Dragon Steamboat's going to be there. We talked about that before, but, we're going to do a pro wrestling scripted PWU presents with, T-Dog, Jerry Travelstead. So we're hoping to get that recorded Saturday. If we do, that'll go up sometime that week.
Tuesday.
Will it be Tuesday?
Yeah, because I was going to do another Mr. 105 Star, but yeah, since we're rotating, we can just easily put it on Tuesday.
Ooh, yeah.
And then Jesse could do the comic show the week after, so.
That works. So we're going to try to get that, no high fives for you, buddy. we're going to try to get that taken care of. I've been talking to Jerry, today. And
I feel like he's got to have some great stories.
Oh yeah. And apparently, WWE has done some really cool things for that local community. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk up this big show for them. And then wrestling influences, favorite stuff like that.
And surprisingly enough, one of the sweetest guys. Like he's just a really...
I don't know if that's surprising.
Well, no, just like everybody at Stride, like we have yet to deal with somebody that's just not like super pleasant.
Right.
Like everybody there is just an A+ human. See what I did there?
All right. So this Saturday... This Saturday, Stride.
Yes.
This Saturday, Stride. And then, of course, CCW Live again next Wednesday. We'll keep you up to date on all the wrestling news next Wednesday on Pro Wrestling Unscripted. We've got Podzilla After Dark tomorrow, which I had so much fun doing last night's show that I actually took notes and everything. Like, for once, I didn't just go in, set the computer down, and go, all right, talk. Like, I felt like a host for the first time in forever. Because this show is easy. You guys don't need me. We have wrestling news to cover, and you guys can do it without me.
Getting real sick of this. Like, him saying that.
Anyway, so I'll try to make sure that tomorrow's show is also fun, is the end goal, jackass. And, yeah, we'll do the thing with Jerry Travelstead, hopefully, and then Sunday Nerd Up and all that good stuff. So, all right. Good show. All right, cool. Yeah. All right, man, out of here. All right, we'll be out of here then, and we'll see you tomorrow for Pro Wrestling Unscripted. No, damn
nope.
It. We're doing that right now.
But Ace, do it. But you'll listen to this tomorrow.
Tomorrow, mostly, yeah.
Ace, do everything, please.
So be sure to tune in tomorrow night for another episode of PZ85 After Dark. If you enjoyed this episode, you want to help us out, there's a lot of ways you can do that, and they're all very easy. Go to facebook.com/podzilla1985. Give us a like. Share some of our episodes, share the live thing we did, you know, get your friends involved. The more people that we can get involved, the happier we will be. Yeah. If you want to support us financially, you can also help us do that. Go to patreon.com/podzilla1985. Every little bit helps. We are working towards getting that new soundboard. We were kind of concerned we may need a new mic splitter. Dalton.
Also, the mic splitter is, are you throwing it to me?
I'm throwing it to you because you're raising your hand as I'm in the middle of doing this thing.
Oh, yeah.
So,
hurry up. And I was also going to say that if you listen to us on any podcatcher, do us a big favor and review us on there because that helps the algorithm.
Yep, that's where I was. Yeah. Oh. I was getting there.
Okay, my bad.
I'm back. I saw that we were on Real Player and we have like huge subscriber base there. I did not know. Huge subscriber base on Real Player. And also iTunes. We have quite a few reviews up now.
Yeah.
All five stars. Thank you guys so much. If you want to give us a 5-star review on there, if you love us that much, it helps us out. And God, we appreciate it so much. We love you guys so much.
Yeah.
Back to Asa.
So that was pretty much the last thing, as well as podzilla1985.com, which where you can find all the back episodes. They're separated by category. So if you want to go back and just look at old PWUs or Mr. 105 Star Man or old Tanner Thursdays, they all have their own category. So it's pretty easy to search through there. But other than that, we hope you enjoyed it. We appreciate every last person who takes the time to listen to us very much. So have a good night and we will see you tomorrow.